today's rest of the story. It was a long, long road that stretched from Nashville back home to Memphis. The Blue Moon Boys, Bill Black and Scotty Moore, sat in the front seat of the car in miserable silence, while the third man in the group, a fellow they called Hillbilly Cat, crouched in the back seat quietly sobbing. When at last Bill spoke, it was in a dull monotone. They were not the first band to blow a shot at the big time, he said. There would be other chances to show their stuff, but there would never be another chance like this one, Scotty snapped. This was not the church basement. It was the one and only Grand Ole Opry. They like you there, and the world of country music is at your feet. You become a regular. Perform there maybe 20 times a year. You're given permission to use the Opry name in your publicity. You're booked on tours by the Opry's own agency. But if you fail, if the applause is light, or if the wrong person doesn't get your act, it's back to the sticks forever. If they had only had more experience in front of audiences, Bill interrupted. But after all, what had they done? A gig at the Overton Park Shell back home, a grand opening at Cat's Drug Store, for which they stomped and sang in the back of a flatbed truck. Their very first look at a live audience was barely 2 months ago. What could they expect? The Blue Moon Boys in the front seat fell silent again, pondering their icy reputation at the Opry only hours previous. It had been a lot worse than light applause or a dissenting VIP. It had been a disaster. The Opry audience was like an oil painting staring back at them, bewildered, uncomfortable, quiet. After their opening number, Blue Moon of Kentucky, the folks in the seats made little less noise than a painting also, even less after the second song. Then there was the stern visage of Opry manager Jim Denny glaring at them as they walked off stage. In the back seat, Hillbilly Cat had stopped crying, but the hot tears were still stinging his cheeks as he recalled Denny's words, the dead serious suggestion that he hang on to his day job. It was 100 miles into the dark before Hillbilly Cat finally spoke. It was all my fault, he said, his voice breaking. I'm what they don't like. Boys, you better cut me loose. Well, Bill and Scotty knew what loose was for Hillbilly. It meant back to work for Crown Electric in Memphis, back to an electrician's school and to the sensible sort of life which he had always dreaded. It was indeed Hillbilly Cat whom the Grand Ole Opry had rejected. Without him, the Blue Moon Boys might have been on their way to a substantial career. But they couldn't just drop him, not like this. Bill said, hold on, fellas, there are other country radio shows. In fact, Hillbilly Cat and the Blue Moon Boys had been booked in Shreveport to do Louisiana Hayride in just 2 more weeks. And they kept that date. And the Shreveport crowd, perhaps a younger crowd, went wild, and self-confidence was reborn in the heart of a 19-year-old country singer, Hillbilly Cat, who went on in show business to be remembered as Elvis Presley. And now you know the rest of the story.